Arizona. Your mountains, deserts, and streams rise in those cabezas, and the outlaws I see in my dreams.
This is Kathy Damaris, bound to reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona, reading from Arizona Highways. Arizona Highways Magazine, first published in April 1925 by the Arizona State Highway Department, is celebrating its centennial year with a special edition. One of the articles in the April 2025 special edition is entitled 100 Years Milestones. Coca-Cola, Harley-Davidson, Pabst, John Deere, Colgate, Red Wing, Whirlpool, all the century-old legacy brands in America have had their moments. In 1915, Coke debuted its Contour bottle. In 1936, Harley introduced the Knucklehead, the world's first overhead valve engine. And in 1968, Colgate started adding MFP fluoride to its toothpaste to help fight cavities. We've had some milestones, too. They're not necessarily the most critical moments in the magazine's history, but we think they're interesting and worth remembering. Articles written by Robert Steve. First milestone. Premier issue, April 1925. The first issue of Arizona Highways was just 26 pages, including ads, and the newsstand price was 10 cents. 1,000 copies were printed, meaning only a handful of readers saw the magazine's first typo. Turns out we spelled highway with two I's in the caption for the cover photo. The cover picture for the first issue of Arizona Highways shows some of the scenery along the Prescott White Spar Forest Project, which connects with the White Spar Congress Highway. It is one of the prettiest scenic roads in the state. Milestone number two, the first poem, May 1925. Poetry has been an important component of the magazine since the early days. The first poem we published, The Road Fans Lay, was written by Ira L. Wood, who was an accountant for the Arizona Highway Department. There's no record of how well his left brain worked on balance sheets and business tax forms, but his right brain was impressive and prolific. We published dozens of his poems in the 1920s and 30s. Milestone number three, Grand Canyon cover, March 1926. It took us 12 issues to figure out that the Grand Canyon would make a great cover subject, but finally we did. The image is an understated black and white, intriguing but not revealing. The caption reads, "Our cover this month is an unusual scene of one of the great scenic wonders of the world, the Grand Canyon." The photograph is a property of W.W. Lane, chief engineer of the Arizona Highway Department. There isn't any information about where the photo was made, but renowned canyon artist Bruce Aiken, who knows the natural wonder as well as anyone, thinks it was shot at Yavapai Point. "I've painted from this location," he told me. "If you look closely into the shadowy area on the right side, just above the highlighted area, you can see Phantom Ranch. Barely. The word highways obscures Isis Temple and Buddha Temple at the top." Milestone number four, pretentious, travel issue, June 1928. Despite our mandated purpose as a trade journal for civil engineers, editor Vincent J. Keating could see beyond the road graders. In a plug for our June 1928 issue, he wrote, "The June issue of Arizona Highways will be the first of a series of vacation numbers, which will be published annually for the information of citizens of Arizona and tourists from other states who plan to tour the state this summer and future summers. The vacation number of 1928 will be the most pretentious issue of Arizona Highways that has yet appeared." Pretentious? There might have been a more accurate word, but the issue did include more than a dozen travel stories, 33 black and white photographs, and dozens of tourism ads for towns and cities all over the state. Milestone number five, Hint of Color, May 1929. May 1929 marked another milestone for the magazine. It was the first time we used color on a cover. By modern standards, it was pretty basic, like an overhead projector compared to a digital flat screen. But for us, it was another step in our evolution. The cover subject is Navajo Bridge. At the time, it was known as Grand Canyon Bridge, and the image is a black and white photograph that appears to be hand-tinted in some areas, including the rocks in Marble Canyon, which have a reddish-brown color. The Colorado River, however, is grayish-white, making it look like a frozen waterway on another planet. The logo is blue, and the cover lines, Vacation Land and Grand Canyon Bridge, are in red. Milestone number 6, first illustration, October 1929. On an otherwise typical day in October 1929, 16 million shares were traded on the New York Stock Exchange. The market crashed and history was made. Simultaneously, we published our first ever illustration. It's an Old West scene of Tombstone that's paired with a poem titled Eldorado Town by Ira L. Wood. The artwork by Jack Haynes, an engineering draftsman for the Arizona Highway Department, is dark and unsettling, reflecting a mood that everyone in the world would have been feeling in the wake of Black Monday. Milestone number 7, illustrated cover, May 1930. Of the nearly 1,200 covers we've published, only a handful or two have been illustrated. The first is a mystery to us. There's no explanation for why our editor veered away from a photograph, and there's no artist credit inside. Even more mystifying is the cover's meaning. Evergreens growing next to saguaros and agaves, a Northwoods cabin next to an old adobe building, looming skyscrapers on the horizon, an inset photograph of what appears to be southern Arizona capped by a sketch of a bridge. It was saying something. We're just not sure what. Milestone number 8. Clara Lee Fraps Tanner, March 1931. On the long list of important contributors who helped put Arizona highways on the map, the first name belongs to Clara Lee Frapp. In March 1931, she wrote a piece titled Indian Customs, Centuries Old, Retained by Arizona Tribes. She was unmarried at the time, but would later marry John Frederick Tanner, the owner of an American Indian craft store in Tucson. By that time, she'd been appointed to the faculty of the University of Arizona, where she taught in the Department of Anthropology. Over the next 50 years, Clara Lee Tanner would become one of the state's most distinguished authorities on Southwestern Indian culture and arts, and a frequent contributor to Arizona highways. For many of those stories in the 1960s and 70s, she was paired with legendary photographer Jerry Jacka. This month, she joins him and 13 others in the inaugural class of the Arizona Highways Hall of Fame. Milestone number 9, Norman G. Wallace, August 1932. Another key figure in our history made his debut in August 1932, although he didn't get a byline until a few months later on page 10 of our November issue. Arizona Highways has been in receipt of numerous inquiries regarding the cover pages and drawings in the last few issues, asking information as to the artist and complimenting the character of the work. Mr. Norman G. Wallace, who has so generously furnished the cover page for the current issue, as well as those for the past 3 months, is an engineer in the employ of the highway department. His hobby is photography, and his collection of Arizona scenes is unexcelled. Mr. Walls has no expensive equipment, but uses an ordinary 8x10 view camera. The cover page this month is a view on the Oak Creek Highway. Like Clara Lee Tanner, Mr. Wallace is in the inaugural class of the Arizona Highways Hall of Fame. Milestone number 10, George M. Avey, April 1935. 10 years after the magazine's premiere, George Avey, a draftsman for the Arizona Highway Department, made his debut. At the time, no one could have known that he'd go on to become one of our three founding fathers, an incomparable triumvirate that would transition Arizona Highways from a trade journal into a magazine read around the world. But his talent as an artist and illustrator was obvious. His premier piece for the magazine was a cartoon titled Highway Headaches. 5 pages later, he'd get another byline, this time for a piece of art illustrating a story titled Hosses, Just Hosses. He continued making contributions until 1938, when editor Raymond Carlson made him his art director. In April 1946, he was officially added to the masthead. Milestone number 11, new cover design, July 1935. Shortly after the arrival of our fourth editor, John McPhee, came the debut of a new logo and cover design in July 1935. It featured a tagline, southwestern travel, and the addition of two colors to the black and white ink. In addition, the background featured an illustration of mountains, saguaros, and a large evergreen. There's no credit for the artwork, but it could have been created by George Avey, or maybe H.S. Cedarblum, or Barney Appleby, two of our other regulars, or it might have been none of the above. Regardless, it was another step away from the being a trade journal. That cover design would remain until May 1937, when Bert Campbell, our fifth editor, discontinued it. Milestone number 12, Harriet F. Cobb Map, September 1935. Of the hundreds of maps we've published in our history, one of the earliest and best was created by Harriet F. Cobb. When it debuted in September 1935, an editor's note described it this way: through the bird's eye from the stratosphere, Arizona would appear like the new map depicts the state on the back cover page of Arizona Highways. The map, loaned by artist Harriet F. Cobb, will require hours of study to fully appreciate its detail and depth. It would be a mainstay of the back cover until January 1938 and the arrival of editor Raymond Carlson. In the subsequent decades, Mrs. Cobb would become renowned for her meticulous bas-relief topographical maps of Arizona. Milestone number 13, Tales of Calabasas, September 1936. In September 1936, we debuted a series titled Tales of Calabasas. The following, editor John McPhee wrote, is the first of a series of stories of Calabasas, the Old West, rewritten by Elizabeth Toohey, state historian, from the reminiscences of Cabell Brown. The series was illustrated by Stan Shaw, a talented artist who has been contributing to the magazine for several months. Tales of Calabasas was continued for 8 installments, is the second longest running series in the history of the magazine. The longest, Cavalcade of History by Bill Arendt, ran 16 times from May 1987 to February 1990. Milestone number 14, Yuletide in Arizona, December 1935. Three words and one ellipsis. Together, they formed a headline that heralded a holiday tradition that has been celebrated ever since. At the time, our editor, John McPhee, couldn't have known what he was starting. Most likely, he was just trying to add some seasonal pizzazz to the black and white magazine. Whatever the impetus, he published 5 photographs in December 1936 under the headline Yuletide in Arizona, with captions such as mistletoe clinging to a desert mesquite and snowstorm in a pine forest near Flagstaff. It was our first, albeit modest, portfolio dedicated to the Christmas season, and it would set the stage for what would become an annual issue devoted to the natural splendors of Arizona and the spirit of the season. Milestone number 15, first four-color cover, July 1937. After the arrival of our fifth editor, Bert Campbell, the content shifted away from trade journal content to approximately 80% travel. Whether or not it was intentional, Mr. Campbell was creating the blueprint for what the magazine would become. The biggest change came in July. In that issue, for the first time in our history, we published a four-color cover. It's a painting of three American Indians. The painting by Hernando G. Villa was provided to us by the Santa Fe Railway. Other than a 24-word caption on page one, there's no fanfare, but there should have been. Four-color photography and covers like that would become a trademark that earned the magazine recognition around the world and would get us banned in the Soviet Union in the 1960s. Milestone number 16, first photo contest, July 1938. In February 1938, Raymond Carlson, our sixth editor, launched our first ever photo contest. It was his second issue as editor, and he was intent on transitioning the magazine from a monotonous trade journal to something more interesting and more visual, like Life, Look, and National Geographic. To get there, he needed to build an archive, but there weren't many professional photographers in the Southwest in the late 1930s. Thus, the contest. Hundreds of pictures were submitted by pictorialists from all over Arizona, he wrote. First place went to Norman Rose Garrett for On the Rim, a beautiful black and white of the Grand Canyon. That elusive, evasive something which everyone feels upon seeing the Grand Canyon, Mr. Carlson wrote, seems to be grasped in this pictorial. Perhaps the tree in the foreground, gnarled and weather-beaten, lends an intangible mystery to the canyon in the distance, a prepossessing view. Milestone number 17, first four-color cover photo, July 1938. Although the imagery was mostly monotone when Raymond Carlson took over, he envisioned a magazine filled with color photography. In his July 1938 column, he asked, "How can we, through the medium of black and white, paint a picture of the gold in an Arizona sunset, portray the blue of an Arizona sky, tell the fiery red and green of an Arizona desert in bloom? We therefore resort to color photography in this issue's cover page to faithfully portray one colorful portion of the state." It was a shot of Lower Oak Creek Canyon by Norman G. Wallace, and Mr. Carlson liked what he saw. "The faithful photographer has caught the deep red of the cliffs, the purple hue of the mountains in the background, the extravagance and richness of one of capricious nature's finest paintings in the state." Milestone number 18, Esther Henderson, December 1938. The first photograph Raymond Carlson ever purchased was made by Esther Henderson, who started sharing her work with us in December 1938. "After 7 years in show business," she said, "I chose photography for a career because it seemed to promise freedom with creativity. I chose the Southwest because of Horace Greeley's historic advice." In his column that month, Mr. Carlson wrote, "We are exceptionally pleased by the two photographic presentations of the Southwest scene by Miss Esther Henderson. Miss Henderson is a portrait photographer who gave up a stage career to make a name for herself in negatives and prints. She lives in Tucson. This month, she joins 14 others in the inaugural class of the Arizona Highways Hall of Fame." Milestone number 19, Ross Santee, January 1939. Ross Santee writes straight, draws straight, talks straight, and therein lies a charm, editor Raymond Carlson wrote in the official introduction of Ross Santee to Arizona Highways. "In October 1936, we published a review of one of his books, and in August 1936, we went an illustration that appears to have been his but didn't have a byline. In January 1939, we officially debuted his artwork." Although Ross Santee was born in Indiana and lived as a youth in the Midwest and East, Mr. Carlson wrote, "It was in Arizona that he was inspired to his place in art and letters. He is in every way a Westerner, and few artists or authors have dealt with the Western scene as sympathetically or as honestly. This month, he joins 14 others in the inaugural class of the Arizona Highways Hall of Fame." Milestone number 20, Joseph Munch, July 1939. "We were asked by an interested person where we get the pictures that appear in Arizona Highways," editor Raymond Carlson wrote in his July 1939 column. "Well, sometimes we chase down the pictures, and sometimes the pictures chase us down. For instance, one dull Wednesday a couple of weeks ago, when we would have liked to go fishing but couldn't, the mailman delivered a package. It was from Joseph Munch of Santa Barbara, a photographer whose artistic work is much in evidence this issue. What had been a dull Wednesday proved to be very exciting. His first photograph for us landed on our front cover that month. In the subsequent decades, we would publish hundreds, maybe 1,000, of his images, and this month he joins 14 others in the inaugural class of the Arizona Highways Hall of Fame." Milestone number 21, Barry Goldwater, August 1939. Although he's best known around the country as a politician, Barry Goldwater played a key role in the early history of our magazine. "My photographs have been taken primarily to record what Arizona looked like during my life," he said. "The first photograph I sold to Arizona Highways was in 1939. Editor Raymond Carlson and I were driving along one day by Coal Mine Canyon up near Tuba City. Ray said, 'You wouldn't have a picture of that, would you?' I said, 'Yeah, I've got a good one.' The image ran on page 16 of our August 1939 issue. It was just the beginning. Many more have followed, including a portrait from June 1940 that Mr. Goldwater titled The Navajo. 'That's one of my better pictures,' he said. It was taken back in 1938 at an Indian fair near Window Rock." Milestone number 22, Joyce Rockwood, October 1939. At the time of her debut, Joyce Rockwood was the wife of photographer Joseph Munch. That's how she met our editor, but her place in our magazine's history is based exclusively on her incredible talent as a writer. In her first piece, Papago Baby Shine, there's a hint of that talent, but where she excelled was in her travel writing, especially when describing Mother Nature. Consider this from The Green Robe of the Kaibab in July 1954. Though far inland, the pounding of waves can be heard here as winds rush through the upper balconies of treetops in a sea of surging sound, while on the soft carpet underneath, many animals sleep cautiously. Like Robert Frost, her words would take a reader anywhere in the great outdoors. This month, she joins 14 others in the inaugural class of the Arizona Highways Hall of Fame. Milestone number 23, Carlos Elmer, June 1940. Carlos Elmer was just 19 years old when he made his debut in Arizona Highways with a handful of photographs from Havasu Canyon. His son Frank was 20 when he made his debut many years later. In addition to being a gifted photographer, he could write, which isn't common, but photography was his greatest contribution to our magazine and others, including Fortune, Reader's Digest, and Sunset. Carlos is not a professional photographer, editor Raymond Carlson wrote, but that does not detract from his skill or his passion for the art. His theme is a simple one. Photography is fun. He recommends the camera as an antidote for the malady of our bustling and hurried age. This month, he joins 14 others in the inaugural class of the Arizona Highways Hall of Fame. Milestone number 24, Irvin S. Cobb, July 1940. By the time he published a story by Irvin S. Cobb, a journalist known for his ironic and penetrating humor, he was already well known, having written more than 60 books and thousands of columns for journals. He even acted in motion pictures. His story for us was serendipitous. Our leading article this month, editor Raymond Carlson wrote in April 1940, is by that grand American author and personality, Irvin S. Cobb. We wish we could boast about our editorial inspiration in seeking out Mr. Cobb and persuading him to tell us of Rainbow Bridge. It would be a good story, but alas, it would not be true. One afternoon in the mail, a bulky package arrived in our office with a short note appended in which the author hoped we could find room for his article. He said he would like to repay a debt for many pleasant days spent in exploring the remote corners of our state. Milestone 25, Color Portfolio, December 1940. By the 1940s, photography had become a hallmark of the magazine, and we'd published a handful of scenic portfolios. Most, however, were black and white. The first big shift to color came in December 1940 when we ran a piece titled Colorful Arizona, An Adventure in Beauty. It set a standard we've used as a baseline ever since. In his column that month, editor Raymond Carlson wrote, "Christmas in Arizona has two meanings, the white Christmas of the high mountains and the sunny Christmas of the desert. Therefore, as is proper, we have tried to show both of these blessed areas of our state in the photography of Norman Rose Garrett, Max Kegley, Joseph Munch, a New Yorker named Andre de Dianis, and others." Milestone number 26, Ted DeGrazia, February 1941. Of all the contributors to Arizona Highways, no one fills our mailbag like Ted DeGrazia. That's because his artwork was ubiquitous in the 1960s and 70s. Like microwaves, tube socks, and vinyl records, his artwork found its way into millions of homes in dozens of countries, exposing baby boomers and their children and grandchildren to something they'd never forget. He made his debut in our magazine in February 1941. A few years later, in March 1949, editor Raymond Carlson would reintroduce the artist to our readers. We have known Ted for many years, and we know him to be a desperately serious artist. Personally, we are rooting for Ted. Turns out we did more than just root. In all, Mr. DeGrazia's work has appeared in more than 70 issues of Arizona Highways, and this month he joins 14 others in the inaugural class of the Arizona Highways Hall of Fame. Milestone number 27, Maynard Dixon, February 1942. Thomas Moran, Gunnar Woodforce, Ed Mell, some of the country's most renowned artists, have offered their visual interpretations of the Arizona landscape. Among that elite group is Maynard Dixon, who is considered the master painter of the Southwest. After he moved to Arizona, our editor, Raymond Carlson, lured him into the magazine. He made his debut in February 1942 with a story he wrote and illustrated titled Arizona in 1900, which reflects on his first visit to our state. Arizona, the magic name of a land bright and mysterious, of sun and sand, of tragedy and stark endeavor. So long have I dreamed of it that when I came there, it was not strange to me. Its sun was my sun, its ground my ground. There would be many more bylines, including a beautiful portfolio in September 1945. What impresses me about Maynard Dixon is his structure, his total honesty, and his understanding of the power of it, fellow artist Ed Mell said. Before him, I don't think anybody touched on that. Milestone number 28, a letter to Hirohito, March 1942. In 1942, in the wake of the attack on Pearl Harbor and at the height of World War II, our editor, Raymond Carlson, used his pulpit for communicating with Japan's Emperor Hirohito. The letter fills three columns and takes up a full page. It begins, "Today several things happened around our office that made us think of you, and so we thought it would be a nice time to sit down and write you a letter. We've never had the pleasure of meeting you personally, although we've seen you in the newsreels and your picture in the newspapers. You seem to be a sad, dumb-looking little guy on a white horse, but of late you've become a somebody because you've turned your boys loose to mess things up in the Pacific. Mr. Hirohito, just tell your boys to have their fun while they can, because trouble is coming. Yes, sir, Mr. Hirohito, trouble is coming." He would write a second letter, just as pointed, 3 months later. That concludes today's readings from Arizona Highways. This is Kathy Damaris, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona.
I love you, Arizona. Your mountains, deserts, and streams rise of Dos Cabezas and the outlaws I see in my dreams. I love you, Arizona.
If you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Log on to sunsounds.org, left-click on Broadcast Info and Audio, then under Programming Links, left-click on Demand Podcasts. In addition, you can now listen to Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or other smart home device.